Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So it is a great pleasure to be here for the housewarming of the new home of Sankarshan and Kalpana. They have observed the occasion in the best way by inviting devotees to chant the holy names of the Lord and discuss the transcendental glories of the Lord. This is actually how we should use our time. This is a good time to remind everyone to turn off their cell phones.
No matter what.
This is how we should use our time, day and night. Associate with devotees and chant and hear the glories of the Lord. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says that both by rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is diminished. Except for those who utilize the time for chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. Our lifetime consists of time. Every one of us, when we are born, has a certain amount of time allotted to us in our particular body. Although we do take care to keep the body and soul together, but still, we cannot extend the duration of life beyond the time that is allotted to us. The only question is how we use the time. Time that is used in Krishna consciousness is time spent profitably, and time spent in temporary material pursuits is time lost. Every businessman will calculate his profit and loss. In his ledger, there will be one side profit and the other side loss. So all the time used in Krishna consciousness is on the profit side. And all the time used for material pursuits is loss. So we want to maximize our profit, our gain, and minimize our loss. Actually, we don't want any loss. No loss. Only profit. That means that we should use our time like this for meeting with devotees, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. discussing Krishna Katha, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Today I thought to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. I hope all of you have a copy of this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is an authorized presentation of the Bhagavad Gita coming in Parampara. And therefore Srila Prabhupada titled it Bhagavad Gita as it is. Just as Krishna spoke it 5,000 years ago to Arjuna, and as Arjuna understood it from Krishna. Krishna is the ideal teacher. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Arjuna is the perfect student. So if we want to understand the Bhagavad Gita properly, we should understand it the way Arjuna understood it. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna tells Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. He accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we take Krishna as an ordinary human being, like us, maybe a little greater, but still a human being nonetheless, we will not be able to understand the Bhagavad Gita. We will not be able to get the benefit of the Bhagavad Gita. Because the ultimate instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. Sarvadharmam Pritya Namekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvapapevya Mokshayi Swami Masucha. Surrender to Krishna means to become his devotee. Manmana Bhagamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mahavastu. And engage always in thinking of him, worshipping him, and bowing down to him. So this is the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. But there are many impersonalists who distort the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Some of them are famous scholars, so-called scholars. And they write in their commentaries, it is not to Krishna the person that we must surrender, but to the unborn, unknown, unknowable, nameless, formless, that is speaking through Krishna. This actually perverts the actual intention of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, surrender to me, and these so-called scholars are saying, don't surrender to Krishna. It's as if I ask someone, please bring me a glass of water. And then the person next to him says, no, don't give him the glass of water. Throw the water on the wall behind him. Krishna is saying, surrender to me. And these commentators are saying, no, don't surrender to Krishna. Surrender to some nameless, formless, something. beyond Krishna. So this is titled or subtitled the Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's presented just as Krishna spoke it and just as Arjuna understood it. And if we accept it in that way, we can get the real benefit. Otherwise, it will be lost. It will disappear. One devotee in India told me a story to illustrate how people lose the benefit of the Bhagavad Gita through interpretation, misinterpretation, malinterpretation. There was once a woman who told her husband, I don't know, maybe she was Muslim, I don't know, but she told her husband to go to the market and purchase a chicken. So he went to the market, and there were many vendors selling chickens, and the one vendor said that my chicken has more fat than any other chickens. So the man, he was new to this shopping, so he thought, oh, well, it sounds like fat is better than chicken, more valuable than chicken. I'll just buy fat. So he went to the fat market, and there the vendor said that my fat is as pure as oil. It's just like pure oil. They thought, oh, well, oil is better than fat. I'll just get oil. So he went to the place where they were selling oil, and the vendor there said, my oil is as clear as water. So he thought, oh, water is better than oil. So he went and brought home some water. So this is how people interpret the Bhagavad Gita. They begin with Krishna, and then, okay, Krishna means, because one of the meanings of Krishna is black. So Krishna actually means black. Black means you can't know it. It's unknown. Then unknown means unknowable, you can't know it. And in the end, there's nothing left. It's unknown, unknowable, unthinkable, unspeakable, there's nothing left. So we don't want to have Krishna disappear. We don't want to lose Krishna in the process of interpretation. But we want to accept Krishna as he is, and the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, as I mentioned, Krishna instructed Sarva Dharman Paritya Dhyamame Kami Sharanam Vraja to give up all varieties of religiousness and just surrender unto me. Now this could present a problem, or at least raise a question. How do we surrender to Krishna? Or why should I? Why should I surrender to Krishna? So Although Krishna gave this instruction 5,000 years ago to surrender to him, there were people who thought he's demanding too much. You know, why should I have to surrender to him? And then even those who wanted to, they didn't know how to do it. So Krishna came again 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya. If you saw the deities, the Archamurti, as you entered the house on the right, you would have seen two figures standing with their hands upraised like this. So they are Sri Krishna Chaitanya and his first expansion, Prabhu Nityananda. They are the same as Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna Chaitanya, he came to show us how to be devotees of Krishna. That is Krishna's instruction. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Become my devotee and always think of me. And by thinking of Krishna, we will naturally become devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he removed that condition. That you first of all surrender to me. But he gave the method by which we can think of Krishna, manmana. And by thinking of Krishna, we will naturally become devotees of Krishna. The phrase Krishna consciousness really means thinking of Krishna, being conscious of Krishna, thinking of Krishna. So how do we think of Krishna? How do we become Krishna conscious? And especially householders who have many duties and responsibilities, how can they be Krishna conscious? So some of Lord Chaitanya's householder disciples, grihasthas, they asked him the very same question. We are householders, grihasthas. What is our duty? And Lord Chaitanya replied that you should chant the holy names of Krishna and serve the devotees of Krishna. If we simply engage in these two activities, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and serve the devotees of Krishna, we will be performing our duty and we will become Krishna conscious. And as you can see, chanting the holy names and serving the devotees, welcoming the devotees, hearing from the devotees, these are things that you can do in your own home. In fact, you should do these things all the time. If you're fortunate enough to live at the temple, then you can engage in these activities at the temple every day. That is a very fortunate situation, to live at the temple. But if one lives some distance from the temple and is not able to come to the temple every day, then he or she can engage in the same activities at home. Same activities. There's nothing we do at the temple that you cannot do at home. You can chant, you can read the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you can worship the deity, bow down to the deity, offer your food to the deity. You can do everything. The temple is there to show you the example of how to be devotees of Krishna and always think of Krishna. But what you see the devotees do at the temple, you can do at home. But one of the important items of devotional service, as I mentioned, is serving the devotees, sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means specifically to associate with devotees who are more advanced. So we can engage in the same activities at home, and we should, with our husbands, wives, children, friends, relatives. But it's also very important to associate with more advanced devotees. Because by their association, we can learn the process more clearly, process of devotional service, and we can also get inspiration from their example. Yes, I want to practice the way they practice. I want to become more sincere, more serious. Otherwise, if we're left on our own, we may speculate. We may receive a good instruction, but we may not understand how to apply it practically in life, and we might make mistakes. There is a story of, I don't know why these particular stories are coming to mind, but there was a story of some disciples who were instructed by their Guru Maharaj to eat foods in the mode of goodness. The Bhagavad Gita explains that there are three modes or gunas: Sattva-gun, Raja-gun, and Tamagun. And everything in the material world is formed by a combination of these three gunas. And everything, there's charity, Bhagavad Gita explains, there's charity in the mode of goodness, there's charity in the mode of passion, and there's charity in the mode of ignorance. And the Bhagavad Gita explained that one should give charity to the right person, for the right cause, and in the right consciousness. So similarly, there's food in the mode of goodness, food in the mode of passion, and food in the mode of ignorance. And we are meant to eat foods in the mode of goodness, sattva-gun. Of course, Krishna consciousness itself is transcendental. It's beyond any of the three gunas. But to help us come to the transcendental position, we want to live in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is the mode of illumination. It brings knowledge and happiness. Where there's genuine knowledge and happiness, that is due to the presence of the mode of goodness, Satvagun. The mode of passion is fruitive activity, being very busy to make money and spend money. And the mode of ignorance is tamogun, mode of darkness, sleep, laziness, intoxicants, is all the mode of ignorance. So we should lead our lives in sattva-gun and engage in the transcendental activities of Krishna consciousness. And the sattva-gun will support our spiritual activities in Krishna consciousness. And for that we need the association of devotees. Because people in the material world are mainly in the modes of passion and ignorance. They eat meat, they drink, they gamble, they do all sorts of things. And they think that this is happiness. They think this is happiness. So there are different standards of happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example of swans and crows. Swans like to swim in clear lakes with lotus flowers, and crows like to peck at the garbage. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a place of pilgrimage for swans, for people who are like swans, paramahamsas. And mundane literature is a place of pilgrimage for crows. So mainly we are surrounded by crows. They like to peck at the garbage. And we are trying to be like swans. And birds of a feather flock together. Swans won't fit in a society of crows. And crows also don't fit into a society of swans. Of course, by association, a crow-like person can become like a swan. But otherwise, the two don't mix. And therefore, when we decide to become devotees, we make a conscious decision that I will associate with devotees. Because in their association, I will progress. And we don't associate too much with materialistic people, because by their association we'll become materialistic. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that no one smokes from birth. You don't need to smoke to live. No one needs to smoke. And when we were little, we don't smoke. So how do we develop the bad habit of smoking? It's by association. We see people who smoke. They may tell us, oh, you should try this. And then we become addicted. Begin to smoke. No one is born a thief. Babies come into the world, they're innocent. So how does someone become a thief? By association. By coming in touch with a thief or thieves, they get the idea, oh, I can steal, I can cheat, I can make easy money. So it's all a matter of association. And that association can either help us advance spiritually or hinder us in our spiritual progress. But we should associate with more advanced devotees. Even if we are devotees or trying to become devotees, but if we are on a certain lower level, we may make mistakes. And therefore, the Shastra recommends to associate with devotees who are more advanced. And now I come to that story. I don't know why it came to my mind. But anyway, the guru, he told his disciples that you should eat food that is in the mode of goodness. So Guru Maharaj left, and then the disciples were left. They didn't know what foods were in the mode of goodness. So they consulted among themselves on their level, and they thought, well, the cow is in the mode of goodness. We should eat the cow. The cow's in the mode of goodness. So that's what they did. So Guru Maharaj came back to check on his disciples and found out what they were doing. He said, oh, no, no, you foolish disciples. You don't understand. The cow is in the mode of goodness, but eating a cow is not in the mode of goodness. You know, you have to eat foods in the mode of goodness. So the disciples, they got so confused. So they started talking. Oh, if the cow isn't in the mode of goodness, what is in the mode of goodness? So then they thought, Guru Maharaj. Who could be more sattvic than Guru Maharaj? This is what happens if we don't have proper guidance. You know, we might receive a good instruction, but we might not really know how to execute it properly. So we need, this is of course an extreme example, but the point is there. That we should associate with more advanced devotees, mature devotees, experienced devotees, pure devotees. And they can tell us actually how to follow and make progress. So now, of course, many wonderful opportunities are coming together here. We have the housewarming of this nice house. I spoke earlier about coming to the temple, how fortunate one is if he lives near the temple, or, you know, in the temple, near the temple, and can come every day. But if you can't do that, you can make your home into a temple. What is a temple? Actually, a temple is made of the same ingredients as an ordinary house. Temples also made of bricks and cement and stone. It's the same ingredients. same element. So what's the difference between an ordinary house and a temple? The difference is that in the temple, Krishna is the center. All the activities in the temple are done for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of Krishna. Whereas in an ordinary house, the activities are done in forgetfulness of Krishna, for sense gratification. So it's not the architecture that determines whether a building is a house or a temple. It's really what goes on inside the building. And if Krishna is the center, especially if we have a deity of Krishna at home, or picture of Krishna, picture is also a type of deity, and we bow down, we offer Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, and chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and invite devotees, serve devotees, then it's a temple. It's a temple. Or to the extent that we use our homes for those activities, it's a temple. And to the extent that we put Krishna out of our mind and whatever, turn on the TV or VCR or any new Xbox or computers, and forget Krishna, then it's a home, a house, hell, actually, more precisely. But this is the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He gave a process that's so easy that you can do it anywhere, even at home. And it's enjoyable. Chanting, dancing, feasting, these are all very pleasurable activities. In Krishna consciousness, we don't have like dry renunciation like the Mayavadis. In the Mayavadi Sampradaya, real Mayavadi Sampradaya, you just engage in dry speculation, study of Vedanta, and you have to take sannyas. Real, you know, Mayavadi Sampradaya, first you take sannyas, then talk. Unless you take sannyas, there's no discussion. But Krishna consciousness is very suitable for householders. In fact, the members of the Panchatattva, there's a nice picture on the altar there of the Panchatattva. Can someone bring that picture? Big picture. Yeah. So the Panchatattva are Lord Chaitanya and his five associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, and Shiva. These are the deities of the Panchatattva in Sri Mayapur Dham. They're very merciful. Very merciful. I think right now, a big party of 4,000 devotees have gone with His Holiness Radhanath Swami to Mayapur Yatra. So they're very merciful, very merciful. And they were grihastas. And that's very encouraging for us, that even in grihastha ashram, we can be devotees, we can become fully Krishna conscious. Of course, later, Some of them keep saying us. That's also recommended for some few. But generally, one can live with wife, children, and just engage in these activities, chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. And one should endeavor to bring others to Krishna consciousness. Bhakti really means to please Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is most pleased when someone preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita and brings others to Krishna consciousness. And that was also the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivi Keya Chejato Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachor Hoy Ve Marna. He predicted and he wanted that in every town and village of every country of the world, then his name, the name of Krishna, would be preached. So that is their desire. They're very merciful. They're very compassionate. They want people to be happy. And they know that the only way people can really be happy is if they become Krishna conscious, to chant Hare Krishna, and take Krishna prasad. So we can do the best service by bringing others. I can only imagine that our hosts here, Shankarshan and Kalpana, they have been talking to people about Krishna, because otherwise how could so many people have come for their housewarming ceremony? And because Krishna recognizes someone who speaks his message, the other devotees also recognize someone who preaches his message. So they also come. So we can do that. We can tell people about Krishna. I had a very nice experience at White Rock Lake just 3 days ago, actually just before leaving Dallas to come here. I was walking around the lake and I saw a man, this older man. He had an easel by the side of the lake and a framed canvas, and he was painting. He was painting, and it was just beginning, but there's like a nice sort of reddish color. I really like that color. And it reminded me of Dr. Ritchie here. He's also an artist. So I thought, well, let me just take a look. So I looked, and then I saw that there's a figure on the right, just the beginning of a figure, and then I saw like a saintly person, spiritual person. And the artist noticed me, turned around, and said, Hare Krishna. Said, Hare Krishna. So I came a little closer, and I saw that in the bottom there's like a little skyline of Dallas, and then there's that color, and then on the side, quite a prominent figure. And I could see that it was going to be Jesus Christ. And he told me that the idea of this painting came from a vision he had. And so there's going to be Jesus Christ there. And then at the bottom there's going to be a man lying on a bed covered with a white sheet. And by his side would be a woman, his wife. And he would have just died. And then the painting was going to show his soul coming from this dark, so that whole region was very dark, and then that sort of reddish orangish is like go into this realm of light by the grace of Jesus Christ. And he was very respectful. He said that he knew about Krishna, and he believes that, you know, Christ and Krishna and Buddha, I said even Muhammad, he had to admit even Muhammad, they are messengers. They bring message of Godhead. And so we should, you know, welcome them all and appreciate them all. And then he said actually he wanted to, at his age, I believe he's 67, that he wanted to read the Bhagavad Gita. Because he had a very good friend who told him about Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita. And it turns out that this man, Jim Morrison, had a shop near an Indian man named Patel. I said, well, do you remember his first name? He said, no, his name was Patel, that's all I know. His name was Patel. So I said, well, that doesn't narrow it down that much. It helps a little. Can you tell me anything more? He said, well, he had a liquor store. And my shop was just near his in the same shopping center near Airplane Road and I forget the other. But he said that Mr. Patel, like, really liked Krishna, and he would go to the Hare Krishna temple, and he was always speaking to him about Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, and from that association, he also came to know about Krishna. He even came to the temple. Mr. Morrison came to the temple a couple of times, had prasad, and he's really, he feels now, you know, he really does want to read the Bhagavad Gita, and he gave me his name and phone number and everything. So this Mr. Patel, well, I don't know if he's here, but Mr. Patel, I mean, he had a liquor shop, it may not be the most dignified profession, but he had faith in Krishna. He had some attraction for Krishna. And he spoke about Krishna to this American man, Mr. James Morrison. And Mr. Morrison was really affected. And then we met, and he'll probably come over the weekend when I go back to Dallas. So that is very pleasing to Krishna. When we tell other people about Krishna and bring them to the temple and introduce them to more advanced devotees and, you know, give them the chance to take prasad, hear the name of Krishna, hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And when I left him to continue my walk, I had this very strong feeling that he was a brother. Of course, we say that God is the Supreme Father, which is true, And because we all have the same father, we're all brothers and sisters. That's sort of, it's true. But it can remain sort of an intellectual idea. But in this case, it was so unexpected, I just felt this like deep bond, like of love, that we're really part of the same family. And we're going to be together eternally. I mean, we have nowhere else to go other than the creation of God. We're going to be somewhere in the creation of God. We're going to be together eternally. And yes, this life, he identifies himself more as a Christian, although he is very open. So he may not be, you know, at the age of 67, I mean, but Prabhupada also said that you can add Krishna consciousness to whatever you are and become a better Christian, a better Muslim, a better Jew. But we're in this together, eternally, and we're all just making progress towards Krishna. Even if he's not clear that it's towards Krishna, but we know, he's making progress towards Krishna. But what was so striking was that feeling of love, that he's really a brother. Yeah, he's maybe like a little behind in terms of understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but, you know, we're both going in the same direction. And I thought of that famous line we always heard in India, Vasudeva Kutumbaha, Vasudeva's family. But it was really like that. Every single living entity is part and parcel of Krishna as our brother. And when we open our hearts to Krishna consciousness, we open our hearts to our brothers and sisters in different consciousness, different species of life, different mentalities. And it's like for a moment that White Rock Lake, it's just like the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. You know, I was walking along, chanting. And yet, as soon as I left that man, there was a young lady walking, and she just smiled. I don't know if she saw, like, you know, like, I'm a Hare Krishna, he's a Christian, and we're, like, talking and being friendly, but she smiled very nicely. And then, you know, two minutes later, I'm walking along, chanting, and I hear this, Hare Krishna! I look around and there's two cyclists, just a typical White Rock Lake cyclists with their tight pants and helmets and all different colors. Two of them. And they started going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like they were chanting. Somehow they were chanting. And then, you know, a few yards further, I saw this lady. Now, there's a very slight history to this lady. Toward the beginning of my walk, one of my shoelaces got untied. And I knew it. I could feel it. But I was waiting to come to a place where I could, you know, put my foot up and retie it. And I knew there was a place ahead. There was a little, not a bench, but like a little wall. I could do it there. So as I was walking along, this lady sort of passed me from behind. And with a little accent, I think she maybe, I don't know, North European or East European. She said, your shoelaces are loose. I could tie your shoelaces. So, you know, at first I thought, well, I know, you know, I'm just waiting to get to the little wall. But then I thought, anyway, she was trying to help me. You know, she was in the mood of doing some service. And I sort of regretted that my initial reaction wasn't so favorable. So anyway, I'm walking along, and then she comes back, going the other direction. And, you know, I saw her, I smiled, because I thought she did service to Krishna. You know, she may not have been conscious of it. She did service to Krishna. She's on the same path. We're all really on the same path. Together, and she smiled, and I smiled. Yeah, thank you. You did service to Krishna. So it was like very magical, for a while. And then I thought of, anyway, I don't want to go too much on this, but it was just like, I could see like, not only is everyone a devotee potentially, but they're actually devotees at different stages, along the same path, and we're together, we're brothers and sisters, we're together eternally, so we might as well be friends, because I'm not going anywhere and you're not going anywhere. We're in the creation of God, and if we're not in the material creation, we'll be together in the spiritual world, so we might as well be friends, be brothers and sisters, and help each other. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Well, this is, he says that when he heard that my shoelace was untied, he thought, well, this could be a service for a devotee to tie my shoe. But he wasn't sure how the senior devotee would take it if someone wanted to tie his shoe for him. There are many variables, you know, who the senior devotee is, who the junior devotee is, what the senior devotee's mood is, what the junior devotee's mood is. So I couldn't give one an answer. But you could take a chance and see what happens. you might get the shoe in your face. You might get it on your head. You don't know. Yes. Hare Krishna. You're saying that as a devotee, aspiring devotee, you want to be in the mode of goodness, but so? Oh, there are social barriers.
Yes.
Full of the mode of ignorance. You mean in... People put up barriers when you want to deal with them?
Or, ourselves.
Oh, you mean you're conditioned by the mode of ignorance, so how do you get free from your conditioning? Chanting attentively is the best way. Japa, kirtan, and reading. reading removes ignorance. You've said it exactly, it's ignorance. We identify with the body, and so we want to remove the ignorance. So reading scripture, hearing from saintly persons, that will help to remove the ignorance. In Narada's instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're almost finished. Yeah. Narada's instructions on ideal householder life, he says that for the conditioned soul, household life is like a dream. And he thinks it's real, but it's actually a dream. It's temporary. And that every day, 3 hours a day, the householder should associate with devotees and hear the glories of the Lord. And that will gradually wake him up from the dream. He'll come to see that this Maya is just a dream. And the reality is Krishna consciousness. Yeah, it's in the seventh canto, Narada's instructions on ideal household life. So that's what we're doing. You hear, you know, you chant, you hear the talks, associate with devotees, and gradually the spiritual realm, that will seem more real. And this material realm will seem more elusive, which it is. It actually is elusive. But it doesn't mean that we reject the material world, but we live in the material world and do our duty according to our position. And on the subject of what is real and what is illusory, I will quote our grand spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Everyone should listen very attentively, because this may be our last official instruction in the class, and it's very important. Someone should take care of the children. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that there are two things in this world that are real: the holy name and cash in the hand. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanam.
Hare Krishna Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.